This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Good evening, my darklings, and it's time to begin the show. Many of you know the famous names of the paranormal, from Dr. Hans Holzer to D. Scott Rogo, even going back into names like Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, that was part of the psychological or parapsychological societies over in Europe. So many famous men's names resonate when you talk about the paranormal. But did you know that there are just as many, if not more, females that have driven this field, helping us to understand and open and expand the horizons of our understanding of the supernatural? Tonight, groundbreaking women in the paranormal, Nicole Strickland and Denise A. Agnew, join us next, right here on the very best in paranormal programming. I'm Dave Schrader, and welcome to my Paranormal 60.
I'm not going to stand here and listen to this baloney.
He won't float. He doesn't stand for baloney.
Sounds like a lot of supernatural baloney to me.
Supernatural, perhaps. Baloney, perhaps not.
Hey, my little darklings, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here and being a part of the program with me. Let's even out my camera so I don't look so far down. I felt like a third grader sitting at a third grader desk there for those of you watching. It is great to be back. I just had an amazing weekend out at the Shanley Hotel in Napanock, New York. Such a good time. We're already planning next year's event, and I hope that you will be there to join us for that. So keep watching this program. But this is a very special time. This is a time that I think we need to embrace, because the one thing I hear from November 1st until October 30th is, we need a little Halloween right this very moment. How about we celebrate today? Hallowtween! That's right. We are at the exact midway point between now and Halloween, and there's no better way to celebrate it than getting yourself a book. How about my book, Theater of the Mind, Tales from the Darkness, is out and available. You can get physical copies and electronic copies right now on Amazon.com, or get yourself a signed copy over at Paranormal60.com. What a great way to celebrate Hallowtween with me and my book. Pandering, I understand, but listen, that's how we make our money in this field. Hey, thank you so much for being a part of the show this evening. And I want to dive right into this, get our guests on and start talking about this, because it's so fascinating to me, all of the work that's been done in this field. And when you really do look at the overall arcing view of this, there have been some amazing people that have really helped to open this field up and give it some credibility. Marie D. Jones is the co-author of this brand new book. Marie cannot join us tonight, but joining us, we do have Denise A. Agnew and Nicole Strickland. The book is called Women on the Fringe, Groundbreaking Women in the Paranormal. And joining us now, Denise A. Agnew, Nicole Strickland. Ladies, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Dave, for having us.
My pleasure. Everyone. And our best wishes and thoughts are out to Marie D. Jones and her family. And she was very busy and had some things come up and just could not make it tonight. Our best thoughts are with her. We've been friends with Denise now, gosh, for 17, 18 years. So it's always a pleasure to try to catch up. But when you reached out and said, new book out, we've got to talk about this, I do think that this is one of the underappreciated aspects of the field, because when you go to a lot of the conventions, you might have one or two female speakers at the conventions. And that's really kind of the end of it, which I feel is not a fair representation, since well over half of the audience is female That is who's driving the passion behind this field. So it's really great that we get a chance to see a book like this come out and be able to share some of the insights and intel. So starting with that, Denise, give our audience a little introduction to you and why this project was so important.
Gosh. Well, it really started with Marie. She had the idea for this book. It struck her a couple of years ago that she wanted to do something like this. And Nicole and Marie were talking about it. And then Marie and I have been writing screenplays together for quite several years, actually, and writing some fiction projects. And so they said, hey, why don't all three of us get together and do this book? And I was really thrilled that they included me in on this because it's something that I've thought a lot about for a long time. As far as me, I'm a psychic medium, a creativity coach, a Reiki master, and like I said, a fiction writer. And I've been doing that since I was like 14 years old, as far as the fiction writing. And so that's how I got started with all of this.
Can I ask you real quick, Denise? I'd love your thoughts on this. I was just doing a talk about it in Napanoc as we were discussing the paranormal and kind of why it happens for some people and not for others. And I've noticed that a lot of people that really seem attuned or more open to the paranormal, they have that creative streak. They have that ability that they haven't completely disengaged with the imagination of a child. And I find that that's a big part of my realm. Now, I know the one side of that we can say is, yeah, look how prone you are to imagination. The other side saying, look how prone I am to being open and accepting of many different possibilities.
Right. Right. No, I totally understand that because I didn't really come into understanding that I was a medium until like 2018, which sounds crazy to a lot of people because they're like, how can you not know that? Aren't you running around seeing a lot of dead people and stuff everywhere? And, you know,
a lot of people don't realize you were bit by a radioactive psychic. And then right. Your powers. So,
yeah, for sure. Well, and as a little kid, I had a huge imagination. I was trying to write screenplays and, you know, I would sit there at home and get ideas for, okay, you know, I was watching Emergency or SWAT or something like that. I feel like writing like an episode for it or whatever and that kind of thing. So I already had that big imagination. So when I did start understanding the mediumship portion of me back in 2018, when I was taking some classes on intuition, I did think that maybe I was just making it all up in my head because I didn't expect mediumship to look like that. I thought it was more like, you know, medium on TV, like Alison Bois in that program. And it doesn't work like that for everybody.
No, it certainly doesn't. Nicole Strickland, tell us a little bit about you and why you thought this is the right time to be a part of a project like this.
Yes, you know, Marie and I have known each other for quite a while, Denise as well. And like Denise said, Marie, we actually did a podcast together. And after she messaged me and she said, you know, I have this idea for a book about women in the paranormal. And we were talking. And so that's how it started. And we brought, of course, Denise in. And the three of us, it took us about 2 years to do this project. And in that time, we realized how well we gel together. We have a lot of the same viewpoints and philosophies. And it's just a great time to really honor women in the field. There are many and all kinds of different branches that we consider trailblazers. And so this book really honors them and puts them in the spotlight. So, you know, we're really excited about it.
Now, I'm curious what your thoughts are on the fact, you know, I have a lot of people that will ask me straight up at events are like, why do you think you have such a female following in the paranormal field? And I've said, you know, without making it sound like I'm being discourteous or disingenuous, I think there is something to women's intuition. I think women Yes. are very attuned to a lot of these things and have been more so than men allow themselves maybe to lean into it. And I don't know. Do you believe that there is something more to that?
Yes, I do. I mean, I think every single person has the, you know, capacity to be intuitive and channel, but there's something about women just with that innate motherly intuitive instincts. I even actually read an article, and it's a science-based article, and they said that women sometimes have more blood flow to the brain, which can almost influence their intuitive abilities as well. So I think when you're out in the field, a lot of these intelligent energies that we're working with, they may sense that women can maybe connect with them on some levels a little bit more deeper than men. Not, I don't want to stereotype that, but yeah, absolutely. I do think that there's something definitely with intuition. I mean, not just with women, but with men as well. So,
well, Denise, you said that your real awakening came in 2018, but had you sensed that you had more going on when it came to understanding or feeling the paranormal much, much earlier in life?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. From the time I was really young, I was interested in all of this stuff, you know, UFOs, Bigfoot, you name it. I was reading it. My mom was very liberal in terms of saying, hey, read whatever you want. She didn't go crazy and say, hey, no, don't read spooky stuff. You'll have nightmares or whatever. And I was one of those weird kids that didn't have nightmares when I watched spooky movies or read spooky books. And so I read it all. I read all the fiction and I read all the nonfiction on it that I could get my hands on, which was a long time ago. So it was kind of hard to get your hands on that kind of material back then. But even so, I think that I wasn't sure really that I personally had anything going on at the time. It took me a long time, probably until I was closer to a teenager, to think that maybe some of the things that had happened to me as a kid actually were that sort of thing, either mediumship or psychic. And I was very good at picking up other kids' emotions, adults' emotions, pointing it out to them, which they didn't always like some of the time, you know, getting it, you know, speaking up about it and all of that. And that still at that time, it wasn't something that I knew was psychic ability. So,
you know, growing up, I had paranormal around me my entire life. My mom and aunt were very integral in my life, opening those doors for me and never making me feel foolish or weird for A, being frightened, or B, having questions. Amazing. And I always thought it was interesting that with my mom, right, there were times she was obviously very psychic. There were things she would pick up on and do. And I remember specifically taking my Batman action figure with me, my, you know, big 8-inch Mego action figure to school. And she's like, you're going to take it to school and it's going to get wet and it's going to get ruined. And I'm like, whatever, not the way I play, Mom. And sure enough, I took it to school, dry everywhere. There's nowhere it's going to get wet. My mom is so mental, right? And as I'm going down the slide, it falls off the slide and hits the only puddle that existed underneath the slide. And I remember not being awed and amazed at my mom's ability, but I thought, she's a witch. We need to burn her. She was obviously cursing me and my doll. So I could see where that mentality in the 1600s came from, because my first inclination wasn't, wow, she's really psychic, I should listen to Mom. It was, she cursed me and made this happen. And, you know, she would always tell me, don't do this, that's going to happen. And it'd be the most random, obscure thing. And she picked up on it. And, it's very amazing to me that as men, we question as much as we do. I know everybody says, well, the man's coming from the logical place, the woman's coming from heart, and man wants concrete evidence that this is going to happen, and women just feel it and know. And I that's a generalized broad stroke, and I think there are a lot of men that are very good at that as well. But it is funny how we do kind of fit some of those constraints and fight the belief system to just let go and have faith that maybe Mom knows what she's talking about.
You know, it's interesting. I actually come from an Italian Catholic family, and pretty much everyone in my family has always been open to my interest in the paranormal. And so I kind of mirror you with that, Dave. That's interesting because, you know, I've heard stories of people that don't have supportive family. And sometimes, obviously, that can influence people. But I've been very lucky in that regard. I mean, my parents used to let me watch Poltergeist when I was like 4 or 5, you know, so go figure. But yeah. I don't practice Catholicism anymore. I'm more of a spiritualist. But still, you know, it's interesting to have that support.
And we do have a copy of the book, Women on the Fringe. You can find it on today's program guide. So whether you're watching it live right here, right now, or you're watching the replay, there's a link for it. Or if you're listening to the audio version only, there's a link for that as well. And I want to hear from you, the listeners. go ahead and put in the comments, what are your thoughts on women's intuition? Is there something more to it, or does that really kind of separate us? And, you know, I think a lot of men want to tap into the concept of intuition and belief. And I don't know why it's so hard for so many of us to just give over to that. When you're doing research and you're looking at all these amazing people that were involved in this field, what do you think kind of separates the herd and really kind of, you know, makes it more applicable for women to just be so accepting and understanding of these things?
I think it actually, in some ways, I think women are more accepting of it, but in a lot of times, I don't think they're willing to show it. Mm-hmm. Because they, you know, will get a lot of criticism for it. And men and women will criticize other women sometimes for expressing their intuition as being something that's valid. And so where we get that, you know, obviously women in the past certainly were told at one point in time that they did not have the logic. And so they were expected to be more, I'm trying to think of a good word for it, but just not capable of thinking logically about things. And so that's something I think women have said, okay, well, I'll follow into that and I will go ahead and accept my intuition because people are kind of allowing me to do that. And so that's a little part of it. It's only a tiny part of it, I think.
Yeah, that's well said.
Let's dive into the book and some of the remarkable people. How far back do you go in examining the lives of women involved in research and the spiritual and paranormal phenomena?
We go back. Well, we have a section in the back where we talk about some of the women that were the trailblazers. Mm-hmm. And some of those women have already passed. So we do a kind of a tribute to them. People like Rosemary Ellen Guiley, Lorraine right. Warren, people like that. And so we do start with that in a sense, but we also really with this book, we're kind of profiling women who are in the here and now doing all the things that they do in all the different fields, UFO, cryptozoology, psychic medium. And I can run out. There's 32. I think we have 32 people in the book, right, Nicole, I think.
Yeah, so, I believe it's 32.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and there are some people in there who are doing things that they've been doing them for years and years. And a lot of people just didn't know about them. And so this is a great way to find out about those people, really.
Do you exactly. think the reason we might not hear from as many of or be as familiar with many of the women involved in this research is because the aspersions that are cast seem to be a little bit more disparaging towards women in the field, meaning that it's, oh yeah, you're all psychic, women intuition, sure, right? In the sense that it's very easily dismissive. And when you have a lot of the names like the Fox sisters, right, who really kind of
yes.
opened up spiritualism, brought this thing out. And then you realize that there may have been some trickery, maybe some deceit in some of what they did. But that doesn't completely disavow everything that they were involved in. Do you think it's those waves, those ebbs and flows that have happened that made some of the women that were, you know, kind of the forefront of this feeling like they had to perform, they had to show something and sometimes would even lean into the fakery of it in order to get the point across?
That's actually a good thought. I mean, when I think about the Fox sisters and going way back into spiritualism, a lot of the themes you can still find in today's research, but as we know with spiritualism, that movement actually led to the establishment of the first scientific organization, the Society for Psychical Research. So I just think that, in my opinion, the tide is changing and that more women are comfortable, maybe for different reasons, in coming forward and sharing their talents and sharing their opinions and perspectives and viewpoints. And maybe one of the reasons for that is because there are a lot of women in this field doing that. So it's important to share and all of that. So I don't know. What do you think, Denise?
Well, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. And I think a lot of times women don't give themselves enough credit for what they do know in this field. And so they will tend to kind of stand back and sort of not say anything. And they, it's not the case for all women, but just a lot of them are not as forward or assertive about that information. And they just really want to do the thing that they're doing. They want to do the ghost hunting. They want to be out there in the field hunting Bigfoot, if you want to put it that way. Whatever it is that they're doing, they want to be doing it, and they're more interested in doing it than they are showing everybody that they're doing it. Most of the women in this book are actually people who you won't see them on TV necessarily. Some of them you will, but generally speaking, they are kind of unsung heroes in this thing that we have going on. So,
speaking of unsung heroes, obviously I'm associated with Hans Holzer, having been the lead investigator on the Holzer files. But the one thing that a lot of people forget, and I have women tell me this all the time, they'll come up and they're like, oh, I was such a fan of Dr. Holzer. He was such a trailblazer. Dr. Holzer, Dr. Holzer, Dr. Holzer. And I never once hear them talking about the amazing work of Sybil Leek and Ethel Myers, who without right. them, Dr. Holzer could not effectively do his job. And I'm not besmirching the man at all, but he was the first to tell you. And in the one interview I had with him, he just kept repeating, put away all the stupid blinking, flashing things. You need a good trans medium. You need somebody yes. you know and trust, who knows how to communicate with the spirits, that can give you legitimate information that you can corroborate, back up. So in his world, the women were equally as important to the investigations as he was, yet the name on the book was Hans Holzer. So that's why most people know Dr. Holzer. And they look at the people he worked with as kind of secondary characters, which is really a shame, because he tells you how integral they were to him getting the information and helping the spirits.
Oh, it's a sure. collaborative effort. It's definitely right. a collaborative effort for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And I think the fact that you have people like people that you've worked with, Dave, like Cindy Keza and other people on the shows that you've done, obviously you've been able to witness them doing things that you know, gave you great information that you wouldn't have known if they hadn't been there. Things that weren't in the documents that you had from Dr. Holzer or whoever it was that you were working right. with. So it was great that you had the medium there to kind of enhance and sort of help you get more information.
Well, when we look at the book, and let's start off with you, Denise, which figure really stood out to you? Which figure through history has really kind of been a driving force that maybe a lot of people aren't even aware of the full amount of the contributions they've been a part of?
Oh my gosh, that's a hard question.
I know, right? I know.
I'm thinking, who is that? Yeah, it's like, oh my gosh, tough question. Wow. Probably one of the people who I think isn't as widely known she's only widely known for one thing, and that's Linda Godfrey. And a lot of people in the paranormal world do know her, obviously. Mm-hmm. We all know who she is. And she was on a couple of shows here and there, so she had exposure in that way. But I think I always loved her books and always found them fascinating and always found them really not only educational, but the fact that she, as a reporter, could give you the facts, but the book could still scare you while you're reading it. And it was very entertaining. It wasn't dry and it wasn't boring when you were reading it. And she just seemed very down to earth kind of person.
She really was. I had the great, great chance to interview Linda Godfrey numerous times in the past and to work with her at conventions. And I would love, one of the times I went over by her to do just a little video vignette to put up. And she goes, for God's sakes, don't ask me about Dogman. Don't ask me about the Beast of Bray Road. Let me tell you about UFOs. And I'm like, yes, please. Because she did have a much wider berth of things that she was fascinated by. She, as you said, just really was well known as the Beast of Bray Road woman and her research and study into that. But it went so much further. And she had such love and passion for this field and making it accessible to everyone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I wish she had stayed with us longer.
Great.
Yes, I know.
She could have written more books about other things besides Dogman. That would have been great.
Well, what about you, Nicole? Who really kind of stands out to you? And I'm not asking for your number one, so you don't have to feel like any other women in the book are like, what about me?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to answer this because I've worked with Rosemary Ellen Guiley many times. She was a dear friend of mine. I don't want to. There are so many women, and what's interesting about the women in the book is that each one of them, they have different perspectives. They have different backgrounds that contribute to their work in the field. We're not just talking with psychic mediums or ghost researchers. We're running the gamut of, you know, cryptozoologists and ufologists, even podcasters and authors. So for me, women as well as men, but we're talking about women, those that really embrace their work with this innate passion to learn and study from different angles, looking at historical perspectives and genealogical and archaeological perspectives. So really branching out and trying to examine and survey paranormal research from many different angles, and just that passion and drive to do it. That's what really attracts me in the field, to people like that.
Yeah, there's so much to so many of these amazing people that have brought forth different elements, like you said, and made it accessible maybe from a different viewpoint. I mean, I watched Rosemary kind of go from, you know, these individualistic kind of compartmentalized versions to, you know, suddenly she was like, maybe I think there might be more to the concept of the djinn, and that the djinn, ancient being, may be more impactful to this. So she was really one of the first ones to kind of push that to the forefront and get people considering outside the realm of Christianity or what we thought we understood about ghosts and demons, and really exploring into a bigger realm and into ancient literature and historic relevance of different religious beliefs. And that was really captivating too, because it showed that she wasn't a one-trick pony, and she was always willing to learn and adapt, which is really important.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, gosh, as I sit here and I think back of just how lucky I've been to have met and worked with so many of these women, Rosemary Ellen Guiley was part of many of my live events that I did over the years, and women like Linda Zimmerman on the East Coast, who has written, God, I don't even know how many books at this point, and has really been a driving force in everything from cryptids to UFOs to ghosts and anything in between. And it is to me a shame that I'll go into a lot of conventions and I see books on the shelf and I'll recognize many of the names, and I see very few of the women authors popping up unless they're there specifically at the conference. Right. And that to me is always a little, I'm always like, wow, why is there not a better representation of this? Let's just hope it's because their book is sold out and they didn't have any more to put on the shelf. That's what my beliefs are. But before we go to our first break, all right, so who do you feel right now, and perhaps even in the past, was one of the more positive references in the cryptozoological field?
Gosh, you're making a call.
I'm trying to, in our book specifically or just general?
It could be in the book or in general, who you think is an important aspect to that field that maybe people aren't as familiar with.
Shannon LeGros is one of them. Linda Godfrey. There's others that I know, and I'm off the top.
Dr. Maria Mayer. She's involved in the Expedition Bigfoot. And to me, watching somebody who comes from a science-related background and primatology, but taking this seriously, when it'd be very easy for her to dismissively push it aside, but instead takes you on this journey so that you can evolve and learn along, I think Dr. Mayer is pretty impressive as well.
That is true. I appreciate people that are willing to go out of the confines of a box and adapt and apply new theories and new thoughts and really test them. So that's something I forgot. But yeah, that absolutely. Go ahead, Denise.
No, I was going to say the same thing. I've watched a few episodes of the Bigfoot show where she's in there, and I love how she kind of keeps it all balanced.
Yes.
And can bring people down to earth, I think, if maybe they were getting a little too excited. You know, it's not that she's not excited, but she's just, you know.
Right. She's excited, but she's also of the mind, Right. Hold on. Before we make this leap, let's examine this from all sides. The book we're discussing is Women on the Fringe, Groundbreaking Women in the Paranormal. Denise Agnew, Marie D. Jones, Nicole Strickland are the authors of this book. We are joined tonight by two of those authors. We'll continue our journey and talk more about the famous women or the infamous and maybe not so famous women that are behind the paranormal field that you should know more about. We'll do that when we return right here on the very best in paranormal programming. I'm Dave Schrader, and this is my Paranormal 60. My favorite spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity that you get. That, wow, how have I been living like this feeling? It's kind of like when you find out that you've been paying a fortune for wireless when Mint Mobile has phone plans for just $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan. Wow, how have I been affording this? It's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. The quality that I've received from Mint Mobile is second to none, and I've tried them all. And this is an amazing company to work with that actually cares about their clients and the prices that they charge. So if you're on that fence wondering, should I make the shift? You're going to get great coverage, you're going to get great customer service, and all of the bells and whistles you expect from the bigger brand names. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans and their jaw-dropping monthly bills and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at just $15 a month. So to get this new customer offer and your new three-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/P60. That's mintmobile.com/P60. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/P60. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to just $15 a month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Oregon Bigfoot Festival and Beyond is back and bigger than ever. At Oaks Amusement Park, Saturday, June 29th. Meet Bigfoot hunters like Ronnie LeBlanc of Discovery Channel's Expedition Bigfoot and Paranormal Caught on Camera. And paranormal investigators like me, Dave Schrader of the Holzer Files and the Paranormal 60 Podcast. Join us for a day of family fun celebrating Bigfoot, ghosts, UFOs, and everything beyond. You never know what you'll find. Don't miss the Oregon Bigfoot Festival and Beyond, Saturday, June 29th at Oaks Amusement Park. Get tickets today at OregonBigfootFest.com. OregonBigfootFest.com.
The Oregon Bigfoot Festival. Oregon Bigfoot Festival.
Happy Halloween, my little lovelies and darklings around the world. Thank you for joining us. And tonight we're discussing the book Women on the Fringe, and we have two of those authors with us right now, Denise Agnew, Nicole Strickland. Let's dive back in and kind of explore some more of this. How about in the field of ufology, or is that even the title? Is it UAPology now? I don't know what you're referring to.
UAPology, I know,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, where do we go with this? Where do you feel that there are some unsung heroes in this field?
I'm sitting here trying to remember, and I'm drawing a huge blank, which is terrible. What do you remember, Nicole?
Well, oh my gosh, from the book.
Linda Moulton Howe jumps to mind, obviously. Linda Moulton Howe has been a big name and a driving force for a while. You know, she was actually
one I was going to mention. I mean, Marie D. Jones is one of them. I mean, she's been studying ufology. She even led a MUFON chapter here in San Diego for many years. So she's one that comes to mind for sure. There are others, and I just off the top of my head can't think right now. Same with you, Denise.
Buy the book, Women on the Fringe. It's got a lot of great names in there, and you two, I think you'd really enjoy the book.
Yeah, definitely. And you know what? It's like I said, it's not just one facet of the paranormal. Like I said, there's women in all these different branches. So, which is neat.
I have a spirit artist, as a matter of fact, who does a lot of spirit art where she draws. And that's something actually, and I think actually Cindy Casey has done that as well, where they draw. That's something a lot of people don't know, that there are a lot of mediums out there who are doing drawings of the people that they see in spirit or things that they have seen happen in that particular area. So we have an artist who does that as well in our book.
And we have some pictures of her drawings as well, mm-hmm. and they are very compelling. Very compelling.
Yep. So that goes back to that creativity thing you were talking about.
Right. Yeah. And that's part of the thing that's so fascinating to me, you know, for people that really want to drive this field and be an act.
Nicole's lost something. Did you find something?
Yeah, I was getting the book. Sorry. I had to, I should have had it in front of me. Shame on me, but yeah, I have it here in my hand. So go ahead. Sorry about that, Denise.
No, that's fine. Yeah, it's, I think one of the problems with having 32 people in this book, that it ends up being one of those things where you're like, okay, I've worked on this book for 2 years now, and now my brain has decided that I'm moving on to something else. And you forget, you're like, okay, I've just done this dump. What actually, you know, I've dumped all the information about what's going on in the book.
And there, you know, it's interesting. We could have asked so many more women.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, we are thinking about maybe having a second volume. We are down the road. You know, obviously, we want to see how the book does. So far, it's doing really well. But, it's great to, you know, feature these women and their educational background, their insights, their perspectives, their work. It really all ties it together. I'm of the belief, I don't know about you, Denise, but I'm of the belief that there's a nexus between different energies, almost like there's different nerve synapses in the body that connect. Is it possible, you know, with crypto beings, with interdimensional beings, with ghosts, what have you, is there some sort of intelligent nexus that connects them all? Just a thought that I think about.
Wow. Yeah.
My brain goes off into left field.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even like, you know, I'm trying to refresh my own brain on the back here. When we say, you know, paranormal archaeologists, that's something a lot of people don't know about. Haunted location tour guides. One of the reasons why we thought we might want to do a second volume of this book is we just couldn't get everybody out there who's doing this in one book. And since we published the book, we've had more people say, hey, you know, I've heard about the book. I didn't know you were looking for people. And
what about me? What about me? Right?
Yeah, exactly. I actually did an interview. We did an interview last week. And we were educated on the fact that there's this 80-year-old woman that is a Bigfoot researcher.
Yeah.
I mean, she's actually designed her house as a museum where she lives. I'm blanking on where she lives, but in the Midwest somewhere. And I think it's in a Cincinnati area. That's amazing. We could have had her. Constance Victoria Briggs, a galactic intergalactic researcher. Now, that's something interesting that you don't hear about too often. So,
well, and that tells you, right, that even people like you that are driving in this field to try to expand it and expose more of the women that are behind it aren't even aware of all of the women that are out there doing these tremendous
work.
Yeah, that's great. Can people reach out to you if they've got somebody they'd like to, hey, don't forget this person for book number two? What's the best way to communicate with you?
Gosh, well, we've got different emails, obviously. Well, one, if they wanted to email me, it's novelist, D-A. God, I forgot my own email.
They're both on Facebook. How about that?
If Facebook, that'll be much easier. You know, Facebook Messenger or something on there. And let us know, Nicole, certainly, and Marie. Contact any three of us. Right. Yeah.
Dr. Thelma
We'd love to hear from you.
Dr. Thelma Marsh. Yeah, Dr. Thelma Moss was this huge driving force out of UCLA. And she ran the parapsychological department and was such a force. You know, Dr. Barry Teff, who a lot of people know and recognize, he studied under Dr. Thelma Moss and was one of her assistants on a lot of the cases like the entity case and things of that nature. So there are a lot of these women who they're prominent, they're doing the thing, they're keeping it moving and keeping an interest going. But there may be just, and this might be the telltale sign of it. They're not looking for the flashbang of celebrity or, you know, obviously everybody would like their book to do well, but they're more interested in getting the information out and making it accessible to people than they are about, look at me, right? And that's right. That's kind of an interesting aspect of this entire thing as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And it makes actually that brought up the thought, you know, people that are in it for just look at me, well, you know, more power to them. But those that really approach this field with that heartfelt passion, you know, kind of leaving ego at the table, that sort of thing, that's what attracts me, is those that really are trailblazing and in the trenches doing the work.
Yeah, and I think even the women who have been on the television programs, a lot's expected of them, of course, too. And they're in a spotlight that's got to be very intimidating in a lot of ways, even if they're super confident people. I think having women who are out there just doing their thing and enjoying the research they're doing, those people are probably happy not to have a spotlight on them because they don't have to worry about that kind of criticism that comes with being on a television program.
There's an element, though, like when you've got somebody like Lorraine Warren, right? She was under so much scrutiny for the work that she did. Because people wanted to tear it apart. She always maintained this air that kept her above it. And, you know, she didn't get into the kicking, screaming, fighting, pointing fingers, name calling, but she certainly stood up for herself and for the work that she and Ed did. I firmly 100% believe that both she and Ed believed in the work that they were doing and that they were doing their best to try to help. But again, it's Ed and Lorraine Warren, right? These are the ways we hear about the people that are involved in this field, kind of taking a backseat to the more masculine or prominent name associated with the teams. Looking again through the book and digging in at some of the other women, who are a couple more of your unsung heroes that you think people should really learn more about, obviously by picking up the book, but expanding and going beyond just that and finding out more about her. Nicole, why don't we start with you this time?
Sure. Well, one that stands out is Josie Barr, a really dear friend of mine. And like her, I'm also very interested in afterlife research, you know, the study of the survival of human consciousness after death, near-death experiences, shared death experiences. And her story in there is extremely moving. And it really showcases that, you know, when someone does pass away physically, their essence does remain and the bonds of love continues on. People from the Pacific Northwest. I've been a speaker at the Oregon Ghost Conference a few years, Port Gamble Ghost Conference. So I know a lot of people up there, great researchers. It's very collaborative. It's very cohesive. Teams working together up there doing a lot of great research. And so there's a few women from the Pacific Northwest as well in the book, which I think is great.
All right, Denise, what about you? What are a couple more of the unsung heroes of the paranormal field you want to make sure that we showcase tonight?
Probably point out two of the ladies that I brought into the book because I know them the most in terms of what they have done. And one would be Kirsten Parsons Hathcock, she's another medium who actually kind of came into her own much later, excuse me, in life. And so she realized that she could see, you know, when we joke around and say, we said, see dead people, it was children in particular that she sees. And so she's worked with particular agencies, police agencies, to help cops figure out what has happened to these children. A lot of missing children, children who were murdered, kidnapped, whatever the case might be. She's, you know, managed to do a lot of work in that already. My friend Leslie Palm she's very understated. She doesn't work in a particular paranormal field right now, but she's been a medium from the time that she was a little kid. And she has done a lot towards trying to make that sort of thing open and accessible for people to learn about. And to, if you have the, you know, if you are a medium or a psychic or something of that nature, she's been very good about helping people acknowledge that and understand it and believe in it and understand that it's, if you're like that, if you feel like you're like that, that there's something to be ashamed of and to just go ahead and embrace it.
And, you know, there's people like Leslie Rule. She is the daughter of the famous crime author, Ann Rule. And Leslie carved her own path with books on the supernatural and, you know, ghostly true crime stories and so much more. She brought an interesting element to it that kind of married the true crime to the paranormal. You know, Echo Bodine is one of the probably most impressive mediums and psychics on the planet, and she has helped so many people. I find it funny because so many people in the field that I've met that don't know each other come from varied and different backgrounds. I say, what book really inspired you? And almost all of them say The Gift by Echo Bodine or Still Small Voice. And that tells you how deep that reach is, that many of the people in the field now that are practicing mediums, sensitives, and investigators have read these books and have seen these names, have been out there doing this work and basing it off the back of people like Echo Bodine, who, again, Minnesota proud and very famous and popular here, not as well known a name nationwide as she should be. And that's, I always find that to be just such a crime that it's like, yeah, it's, you know, you've got Marianne Winkowski, the real.
Oh, like, yes. Her books are amazing.
Yeah, and Marianne is based, I think, in Ohio. And I've had her at a few of my events in the past. A remarkable woman with the gift that she would go help spirits to cross over, to leave these properties. And I love the fact that she challenged God at one point, right? I mean, some of us would say, what an ego. But she just was like, listen, I can't keep wasting my time going to people's houses to find out they have squirrels in their attic or bad plumbing or crappy electrical. God, you got to figure out another way. I can't keep wasting my time and money and gas. And then she started with this gift, and she claims not to be a psychic or a medium. But if you call her and she talks to you and she can see inside your home, that's because there's a ghost there, and she's able to then telegraph and, in, you know, give you the information. Boom. Unbelievable. Alison Dubois, the TV show Medium, was based on Alison and her work helping law enforcement for so many years. There's really an amazing amount of women out there that have been doing this. And look, Alison Dubois was doing it for quite a long time before she even got recognized for, you know, the show Medium. They were so impressed by what she had done that it brought it to the attention. So it is kind of weird how there are some people that have hit levels of prominence, but still end up slipping through the cracks and we don't hear about them.
Oh, for sure. And I think, you know, television, especially either both in fiction and nonfiction, obviously with some of the programs that are out there, ghost hunting programs, that's always going to leave people in general with the impression that there aren't as many women in this to start with, just because we started out with teams that were all men. And a lot of times when they started off with actually introducing some women, it was usually, this is our medium, that kind of thing. Not necessarily, here's another investigator who happens to have mediumship abilities, that kind of thing. And so it would be great maybe someday if there was a show that caught on that was all women that stuck. That would be so fun to watch.
Well, you've got, you know, from the original incarnation of Ghost Hunters, you've got Kristen Gartland, you've got Paula Donovan, who was an MIT scientist. You've got Donna LaCroix, who was part of the series. So they had three or four members that were active. Lisa Duwalaby. They've got, you know, some really prominent people that are involved in that. You've got over on Paranormal State, which was also a very popular show, Elfie Music, Katrina Weidman, Heather Taddy. I love those ladies, and they are still very viable and integral to the paranormal and are continuing that journey and making it fun and accessible to fans and to real purveyors of knowledge out there as well, because they're breaking it down in different ways and making it comfortable for people of all ages and sexes and sexualities and religions to talk about, because there's no longer the strange stigma that, that used to be associated so much.
Oh, right. Sure. Yeah. Yeah, well, definitely. And if you think about it with the amount of streaming channels and different channels that are out there that weren't even available back when like the original Ghost Hunter show came out.
Right.
That's got that means there's a lot more opportunities for people to actually, men and women, to actually be out there and for people to know about them.
Right.
Yeah. And now streaming now.
Chelsea Layden. That's part of Project Fear and was part of Destination Fear. And I, of course, I'd get in trouble if I didn't mention my sister from another mister, Cindy Kaza, the medium, very remarkable person. Sarah Lemos has got to be one of the most talented and gifted mediums I've had a chance to meet. And just one of the most down home, sweet human beings that you'll ever get a chance to be around. But then you look too, that there, a lot of people forget that a lot of the famous haunted locations that exist out there are run by women. You know, I just came back from the Shanley Hotel, Kelly Hammerling. That's her baby. She loves that hotel and pours love, money, and time and honor into that location. And you know, there are so many other sites like that all around. I think Asylum 49 is another one. I'm sorry, her name is blanking me right now. But, you know, so many of the women out there are the ones preserving these parts of history for us.
Well, and speaking of that, we have Nicole and the Queen Mary there.
Second home, yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's the amount of work that you've done on that is incredible.
Thank you. Yeah. It's a passion project.
Yeah, the Queen Mary is a remarkable place in itself. And just, you know, having had the opportunity for 10 years, it was like a second home to me. I was there 2 to 3 times a year with different events. And then to be the first paranormal team allowed to fully investigate the ship empty, that was a true honor. And we only got that because of working in the shadow of Dr. Holzer. We have to take another quick break. We'll come back. We'll continue with Nicole Strickland, Denise Agnew. And remember, get the book. Don't only just buy the book, rate and review it on Amazon as well. We'll be back with more right after this. Hello to all of you in the Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, maybe even Illinois or the Dakotas area. If you'd like to come out to Mankato, Minnesota this weekend to the Beyond the Veil Expo, exploring the unseen mysteries of the universe, psychic, paranormal, and wellness fair, May 4th and 5th, each day, 10 a.m. till 5 p.m., only a $5 entry fee. It's at the Country Inn and Suites in Mankato. You can find more information at darknessevents.com. I'll be there. I'll be doing a talk, hanging out, meet and greets. Winnie Schrader, my wife, will be on hand, and she'll be doing a tarot reading. So you can come book a live tarot reading with Winnie and get that taken care of. And speaking of some of the other women in the paranormal field, Hillview Manor, I'm going to be visiting there on May 11th. And there are still some VIP tickets that are available for that event. There are some presentation-only tickets that are still available for that event. And Carrie Trico, the owner of Hillview Manor, maintains this with the integrity like second to none. It is amazing how well she runs this location, loves the history, loves the spirits, and loves the people that volunteer and employees of Hillview Manor. So get a chance, even if it's not to come out and see me, come see Hillview Manor. It is truly one of the coolest haunted locations out there. And I'll be there May 11th. Again, tickets and information can be found at darknessevents.com. So yeah, and I know I'm forgetting more. She owns Rolling Hills Asylum.
Sharon Coyle Farley.
Yeah,
I just talked to her the other day. Yeah,
she's Sharon wonderful. She originally found that by attending one of my events, and the former owner was getting ready to sell it, and Sharon felt the call and pledged herself to this building and has run it for, it's got to be over 14 years now, I think.
I think it's been about that time, yeah.
Yeah, so Sharon Coyle has been out there doing this. It's really, it is an amazing aspect to the world of the paranormal, how many women are behind so many of these things and keeping them alive, keeping us aware of the history and going into locations. I love when we were just out in Sauk Center, Minnesota, and we stopped at the museum that's there, you know, right next to the Palmer House Hotel, or I should say down the street. The ladies that work at the museum are just as fascinated, and man, they dug up all kinds of cool stuff for us to, here's who the ghosts might be, Dave. Here's the deaths we found associated with the Palmer House. Here's what we can tell you about deaths that surrounded the Palmer House. We could, and it was, they're so into it. And again, the couple of gentlemen that I met that were hanging out there, totally unfazed, but these ladies had a passion and a love for it and loved teaching.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, and this book was an education for us too, because there were lots of women in there that I had never heard of, certainly that Marie and Nicole know personally. And so I kind of consider myself the baby of the three groups in terms of the experience that, you know, I certainly do not have the level of experience that either of them do with being involved with those kinds of, you know, conferences and all of the things where they might actually be able to meet some of these people. And I actually wish that I'd started that journey a lot earlier, because I've been in doing paranormal investigation in a sense my whole life, but haven't gotten to do it as much as they have. So this is an education for me too.
Me too. I'm always learning from people in this field, and that's the beauty of it. Denise, you're fabulous.
Oh,
I mean, I've known you for a long time. I think you're absolutely fabulous. I say this every time, and we've done several interviews about the book. I say, you know, I really admire Marie and Denise, not just for their writing and their success in writing, but just as people and for their approaches in the field, just all around fabulous. So it's really been an honor for me to participate with you guys in this.
Well, thank you. I'm back at you.
And Marie D. Jones, the other part of this triumphant trio. And Marie has been a part of my radio shows for 18 years and remarkable author, researcher, and just has a real true passion and heart for this. Pamela Heath comes to mind as way comes to mind as well as another. Pamela Ray Heath as somebody who really kind of helped open up my eyes to a lot of elements. She co-authored a book on suicide and the supernatural, and and brought so many great answers to people. But you know, the problem is that there needs to be a more accepting, listen, we're accepting angels and ghosts and 10-foot tall hairy hominid creatures and water beasts and craft from other planets or interdimensional spaces. But heaven forbid you're an adult porn actress who also has a fascination with the supernatural. You're completely disavowed in this field and thrown by the wayside and treated like trash. It's really
very sad,
unfortunate. And I'm talking about somebody I consider a friend, Stormy Daniels. And because I really appreciate the love she has for the paranormal field. And although she's newer to this, she really loves the paranormal and trying to understand it and get into that. And I always think it's so funny. We don't care what everybody else's job is that gets involved in the paranormal, but you know, I understand there's some divisive nature because of an affiliation with a former president, but there's also the element of who cares? What is her work in the research field? What does she bring to the field? And what are her experiences? What can we learn from her, either good, bad, or indifferent? Because I think even in bad ways, you can learn from people how to examine the paranormal and maybe make it better. But Stormy's been somebody that I feel, and Bridget Marquardt, another one, another great working force, former Playboy bunny. And, you know, a lot of people maybe don't take her as seriously as they should because of that. And I think it's a shame because they really know their stuff. As a matter of fact, I would say they know their stuff more than a lot of the quote unquote researchers in the field I know.
You know, that's interesting. I've met some people that are newcomers to the field too. And there's a healthy sense about them and their approaches to it. So I agree with you. Yeah. We all have different backgrounds, no matter what it is, each person can contribute to the field in her own way.
And sure. Bloody Mary Milan from New Orleans. Bloody Mary is a huge driving force in keeping the real history and mysteries of New Orleans alive. And, you know, gosh,
yeah,
Madame Laveau, looking at, you know, going back into the historical relevance of who the people are that are really central to the history and the stories of those towns, you can't dismiss how many of them were women. And, you know, and what they were able to do and their contributions to why we know what we know now about different elements of the supernatural.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate hearing about from any woman who's got an interest in this whole thing, you know, even if they are not actually actively working in some way as any of the career fields that we've been talking about tonight. If they're interested in it, they may have some valuable, you know, insight and information. So for, to me, I like to talk to any women about it. I don't care whether anybody knows who they are or not, or what their career was or any of that sort of thing.
And, you know, you look at fields like the ufology field, Betty Andreasen Luca has been out there talking about her abduction scenarios for a very long time. Her case is probably second only to Betty and Barney Hill. And in that case, what's the first name in that? Betty and Barney Hill. And Betty was, you know, a very independent, strong woman. Here she is, a white woman in an interracial relationship who gets abducted by aliens and still had the wherewithal, the courtesy, and the grace to come forward and share this story and try to help people that were in these deals. And that put them in crosshairs and made their lives, I've got to guess, insufferable at points, but they continued on. And Alexandra Holzer, I want to make sure I mention Alexandra too, because she has continued on, you know, obviously with the name Holzer, it's a big shadow to step out from. And I think Alexandra has done a really good job of keeping the work and the mystery and the research alive. And she has got a few books out as well.
For sure.
Well, one thing I appreciate about her too, just from listening to some of the conversations you've had with her on your show here, is that she tries to make sure that people understand the whole breadth and depth of what her father did, because a lot of people didn't know until like the show that you guys were in and that she was a part of, they didn't know those things about him. And so that was great that she was able to bring her father's legacy alive that way.
Women on the Fringe, groundbreaking women in the paranormal. Denise Agnew and Marie D. Jones, Nicole Strickland, co-authors of the book. We have a link for the book on today's program guide here, either on the live YouTube video, on the social media videos, or if you're listening to the audio-only version of this, make sure to check the links there. You'll find a link to the book on Amazon. And again, please, I encourage you, rate and review the book. And thank you for all the people that have done that for me. We're up over 140 ratings and reviews for my book, Theater of the Mind. Do that for these great authors that are showing up on the show, so it gets their book seen by a bigger, broader, wider audience as well. Ladies, thank you so much for joining us and helping us to keep this alive and share with other people and bring to name some really important people that should not be forgotten or overlooked.
Thank you, Dave, so for having us.
We appreciate it.
My pleasure. My pleasure. And thank you all for joining us on this journey tonight as well. And may the darkness of this world be just a little bit more light with the information that we share here. And don't be afraid to step into that spotlight if you have ideas and concepts, things that may challenge the very paradigms we discuss on this program. Because without those insights, foresights, and thoughts, we'll never grow. It takes people pushing the envelope and trying to understand the envelope from different angles that may give us a bigger, wider perspective of this thing we call the paranormal. So until next week, I'll be back with more guests then, but remember to tune in this Wednesday for the Paranormal 60 News and our own female paramour. We've got Sweet Tea on the show. We've got Greg. I think the Colonel is back with us as well this week. So make sure you tune in on Wednesday for that right here on the Paranormal 60.
Are you troubled by strange noises in the middle of the night? Do you experience feelings of dread in your basement or attic? Have you or your family ever seen a spook, specter, or ghost? Then Haunted Magazine issue 41 might just be for you. In issue 41 we have The Enfield Haunting, an interview with Dave Schrader, Danny Robbins, and lots, lots more. Out now in stores, app stores, and online at bit.ly/haunted magazine. remember, don't be normal. Be paranormal.